Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who have helped shape our community and transform who we are and how we live.
Well, greetings, everyone. This is Jennifer Moss, and we're here again. We're ready for another edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. And today I'm happy to introduce our powerful woman, Marge Palmerly. Welcome, Marge. It's so good to have you here today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Now, before we start our conversation, I do want to give you a little background about Marge. For more than 20 years, she served as the executive director of Degage Ministries, downtown Grand Rapids, of course, and it's no small task. So if you're not familiar with the work of Degage Ministries, Marge is going to fill us in with specifics on that, but I will say this, that Degage is a community center for the poor and the marginalized population of Grand Rapids. And during her tenure, Marge has grown the agency from a small coffee house to an organization providing vital services to 400 to 500 people every day. It's amazing. And so Marge also was recently named one of the 50 most influential women in West Michigan by the Grand Rapids Business Journal. So again, Marge, we welcome you to Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So to start, an amazing growth has happened there at Degage. It used to be a lot smaller. I mean, I've been covering it for a while, and it didn't have the footprint that it has today, which is good news.
Exactly. And we have been very responsive to needs. You know, we are so thankful for those Calvin College students who had the foresight to start the ministry 53 years ago. And out of that has grown a ministry that has dealt with complex issues over the years. But what remains the same as everyone's desire to be treated with dignity and respect. And that knows no social economic boundaries. We all have that desire. And how can we walk that journey together? You know, oftentimes my favorite definition of Christianity I say is one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. We're all on this journey together.
We certainly are. And so, you know, I recently talked with you and interviewed you about the current fundraising campaign that's going on at Degage Ministries. Yes. And this is quite an exciting time.
Well, it is. And the first time in our history that we've really done a major capital campaign. And it's $6.7 million. We bought the building behind us, and there's an old carriage house. We're going to tear that down and build a new three-story building. But it will just allow us to really meet the needs in a unique way in our community. We're going to be able to have housing for women and children. And we all know there's a severe housing shortage in our community, and there is a real need to be able to provide safe housing for children. So we're excited for that. We're also having a day wellness center, people coming out of the hospital. If you're homeless, you have no place to go and recuperate. So to be able to work with the hospitals providing that vital service is going to be so exciting. We know that oftentimes the doctor will delay doing a surgery because the person doesn't have a place to recuperate, and now they can be assured the person will have a safe environment to recuperate. So it's awesome. We're expanding the dining room. We're having classrooms for workforce development. Lots of exciting things.
It is exciting. And again, when we look at this and from where you've come and where you're going, 400 to 500 people every day.
Yes.
That's a lot of people. And how are you managing that? And what's the response from the community, the people that you serve?
When you say, how are we managing, do you mean post-COVID?
The numbers. 400 to 500.
Yes.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And with COVID, we've needed to really restrict the number of people that are allowed in our facility at any one time. So we used to be able to serve 100 to 150 for breakfast in the morning. Now we're doing it in shifts. We've expanded the time that we serve the meals for breakfast, and so more people can come, and then they leave, and others then will be able to come in. So
allowing that social distancing that's
necessary. Social distancing, yeah. Exactly. Same thing with the women. We used to have all the women on one floor. Now we've expanded it to three floors, so we can have social distancing. So we're managing to still see as many people. It's just we've adapted and adjusted.
So I want to backtrack just a bit. You've been there for 20 years now. How did you end up at Degage. Oh. Part of your calling? How did you end up there?
Oh, certainly. Well, for me, faith plays a big part mm-hmm. in my life. And I had really been praying for an avenue that I felt I could use my gifts and talents. And I had been volunteering there. And then an opening came on staff. And it was an agency that I knew I loved the mission. And mm-hmm. I knew I loved the people. And I definitely felt called to become a part of that thriving ministry.
And so with that history, and you look at it, you know, it all looks good, but we all know a lot of us face barriers yeah. along the way, whether it's climbing the ladder of success or just trying to meet the needs of those that you serve. What kind of barriers did you face or have you faced over the last 20 years as you continue in this position?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's always those subtle barriers, you know, the men at the table. You know, I think back, you know, I started 23 years ago there, and I think back of the changes that I've seen in accepting all voices at the table. I think we've made great strides in our community to be more inclusive and to strive to invite people to the table, not just tolerate them.
Absolutely.
And I think that has been a real plus in our community.
What do you think about finding your own voice? Have you been able, I'm sure at this juncture, you've been able to find your own voice, because amidst those barriers and other things going on and getting the seat at the table and those types of things, you had to own it. You had to be able to walk in that confidence to get to where you are today.
Exactly. And that comes from feeling confident about the role I have, you know. There's a saying where God calls, he enables. And I think, okay, I've been put in this role and I have a duty and an obligation to represent the people who come through our doors. And oftentimes they're not invited at that table. Mm-hmm. And so I always tried to say, if somebody was sitting here who was experiencing homelessness, how would they feel? And now I'm thrilled that oftentimes we do have people who are experiencing homelessness at those tables. So that has come a long way. But just feeling confident in my belief that all people have the desire to be treated with dignity and respect. It doesn't matter if you're suffering from mental illness or struggling with addictions, your voice is still important, and feeling the joy and the privilege of representing the people we serve.
Absolutely. And that dignity and respect is a huge part and parcel of what all you do. So
yes.
As we look at your leadership, Degage Ministries also received the Epic Nonprofit of the Year Award.
Right.
And so speaking of that leadership, what traits do you like to see in those that you work with or perhaps those you mentor you look at leadership qualities?
Oh, certainly. You know, for me, I'm collaborative. You know, I like to get lots of voices, lots of input before I'll make a decision. And I know sometimes it can seem laborious, but I am not impulsive. I want to hear from people who don't agree with me and people who have a different perspective. So my model of leadership is, let's talk this through. And somebody play devil's advocate here. What am I not seeing? Mm-hmm. How can we make this stronger? And representing the people we serve, oftentimes we do focus groups. We just did a focus group about breakfast in the dining room. You know, that's why we went to expanding the time, saying, would you like breakfast earlier? Would you like it later? Would you like to-go meals? Always going back to the people we serve. To me, it means nothing that we sit around a table and make decisions. It has to be with their voice and because of their needs, not just us perceiving their needs. So yeah, it's very collaborative.
I was going to say that collective voice, and that also goes back to the respect and dignity
yes.
that you want to have for those who come into
yes.
Degage Ministries.
Yes.
So all of us who are working and we're doing different things, you know, how is it that you found time to balance your work life with your personal and family life? Because I know, I mean, you've got a lot of people to take care of, so to speak,
yes.
at Degage, but
yes.
you clearly have to have your own personal life. So how do you manage all of that time?
Well, and that is a challenge, and I don't do it well. I'm the first one to say I fail miserably at that. But, you know, my friends and family are very important. I'm very involved in my church, so I make priorities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have two kids and both of them are out of town, and I have grandkids who are out of town. So making time to go away and step back. I recently just took 2 weeks off, and that was the best thing I ever did.
Oh, wonderful. You know?
So it's not something I often do, but it's taking that time and being intentional.
So, and it kind of leads into my next question, because I think a lot of working women, as we talk about powerful women, want to kind of pick up a few ideas from their counterparts and whatnot. And so you're busy. You talked about you took your 2 weeks. What is it that you do for fun? What are the things that you like to do that give you that that me time, so to speak?
Oh, certainly. Well, I love to travel, and that's why it's been challenging. My son lives in Austin, Texas, and that is such a fun city.
Absolutely.
So I would always go there every year. And my other son and his family live in Chicago, another really fun city. So, and I love going to New York and Washington, D.C., and I have friends that I travel with. So it's that time to get out, and I love Yosemite and I love Grand Canyon, you know. So it's taking that time to be intentional, you know.
And really being intentional now with COVID. How are you handling? Because that between work and even home,
yes,
that's a huge difference that we're all facing.
It is. And just, you know, the thing is, with my son in Texas, we used to connect occasionally. Now we connect every week. Mm-hmm. We've been very intentional. And out of COVID has come a new rhythm.
Absolutely.
You know, and the same thing with my kids in Chicago, you know, I get up and we'll FaceTime with them. And it's being more intentional. And the same thing with friends. Like yesterday, I used to always sit with my two friends in church, Lisa and Diane, and we're texting during the sermon yesterday. It's nice worshiping with you, you know, that sort of thing. So,
absolutely.
So just trying to retain those friendships and build on them, and say, you know, over the weekend I was over at a friend's house and we were social distancing, you know. So you be safe, but you be intentional.
A lot of people are making ways out of no way, you know, looking at COVID in this light. And it's, I think a lot of people will tell you that things have changed for the better in a
right.
sense, because we had the privilege of being able to go out and about at will.
Right.
Traveling or what have you. I like to travel to many of the same places you mentioned. And we can't really do that now. And I think we've become so purposed in talking with our loved ones
right.
or our friends, or
yes.
that you actually have more time or conversation of sorts,
yes.
FaceTime or whatever it is, with them than you did before COVID.
Yes, I agree totally.
So there's some good that comes out of that. So the bigger question too is, what makes you laugh? How do you have a good time?
Oh.
What makes you smile?
Oh, man. You know, to tell you the truth, you know, I love my work. I love the people we serve. So I intentionally pick up some shifts in the open door so I can be with the women. And I was just there Friday night. And, you know, as I got ready to leave, one of the women said, "Oh, I was hoping you'd spend the night. I want you to sleep right here next to me."
Aww.
And I said, "Oh, you know," and she said, "Well, let me sing you a song." So she sang me a song.
Beautiful.
And it just blessed my heart.
Aww.
And I just find great joy in just being with people. You know, so what brings me joy is just journeying together with people and learning from them. I mean, we don't just learn from people, you know, up above. We learn from people at every stage of life. I learn gratitude every day. You know, I walk into work and I'll say to, you know, "Good morning, how are you?" "Blessed." You know, how many of us who are sleeping under a bridge would say they're blessed, you know?
Exactly.
How many people sleeping on the floor at Daché would say, "I am so thankful that for everything you do for me." I just, the gratitude and the humility that they express every day is beyond words. Or somebody standing in line to get a cup of coffee, paying a quarter. Someone doesn't have a quarter. Someone else reaches in their pocket and buys them a cup of coffee when that's probably their last quarter. Mm-hmm. You know, that brings me joy beyond belief to know people who are so unselfish. So unselfish.
It's like they're living the love of Christ right through in there,
Amen.
Right in front of you.
Amen.
And that's got to be a wonderful thing to witness on a daily basis.
It is.
And I know you're doing an excellent job there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marge Palmerly. We wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you. It's been a joy. And I just want to thank the community for the support. We are, we don't do this work alone. And whether it's the staff or the board, the volunteers, as a community, we come alongside those in our community. So thank you.
Absolutely. And what a wonderful thing that what you're doing there at Degage Ministries. Again, we thank you so much for joining us, and we thank all of you for listening today on this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by women about women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.